we welcome you. My name is Jeff Marsh, and it is my privilege to serve as worship associate for today's gathering. I am joined by our guest minister, the Reverend Dr. Tom Brody, Lily Rappaport, our Director of Religious Education, Musical Director Hal Walker, and the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent Peace Choir. We are delighted to welcome you to this religious community. The reading today comes from Henry David Thoreau. If one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours. When I was in ninth grade at Jackson High School in Maslin, there was a day when we were all subjected to an aptitude and skills test to tell us what occupation that we should set our sights and what might be out of reach. We spent 2 days taking written tests. I see some smiles. Who took these tests? All right, great. Solving puzzles and testing our fine motor skills with blocks. Weeks later, we received a printout of a couple of hundred careers grouped in those that we would have a high, moderate, our low chance of success. I did really well on the test, and I saw that I could be successful at nearly everything. There were 7 careers, though, that were on my list that I had less than an average chance of success. This included being a tailor, a barber, and a seamstress. Unfortunately, it also told me that I wouldn't make it as a surgeon or a doctor. Sometimes your calling is contrary to what you might be told is possible. Sometimes you just have to defy the odds to make your dreams come true. Come, let us worship together. I invite you to take a moment of quiet with me. When I see a patient in my office who has just run in late and their blood pressure is way too high, I ask them to sit quietly with empty hands and feet placed squarely on the ground. I tell them to breathe softly and silently and wait a few minutes until I return to check the blood pressure again. It nearly always falls to a more tolerable level. With all the turmoil in our nation and the world, as well as those close to home and our personal lives, we could all benefit to drop our pressure a few points. Join me in a moment of silence and peace.
Spirit of life, great Tao, God and Goddess, Gaia. Day by day, you regenerate all that sustains, all that we need, so that week by week we may return here to this living haven, this giving community, with all our hopes and dreams, all our joys and concerns. Those expressed this morning and those left unsaid. Life is a cycle. And just as we can look outside and see rain coming down, just as surely we will later be able to look out the window and see full gardens and flower beds. We gather here as one warm and loving community to hold on to each other tight until that time. I invite us all to think of those beyond these church walls. There are those this week who have experienced troubled minds or even violence. Violence from wars between each nation, between each person, and perhaps within each person. May those in pain know healing, and those who have given pain no forgiveness. May we each find the courage to change what we might through personal insight and endeavor, that we might move from emptiness and misunderstanding to love and well-being. Grant us peace from our fears, peace from our tears, and peace in our hearts. So may it be.
Scoop, spear, polish, chop, wash, prepare, hang and mop. There's work to be done. You and me ain't the only one with a lesson to learn.
in the rock tree in the world. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stand tall and be proud. Listen up close, speak out loud. We gotta walk with each other. We gotta love one another. It ain't hard to be true. So I'll be me and you be you. We gotta do it together. Make this world better. Scoop, spear, polish, chop, wash, prepare, hang and mop. There's work to be done. You and me ain't the only one with a lesson to learn. In the rock tree in the world. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, listen up now for the trees and the worms and the rocks and the soil. There's a lesson to learn. The biome is living and coursing through us. Her name is the earth and she's dying for justice to be done. And we gotta do it now. So we listen to the worms and the birds and the cows, cause we gotta change. And they're gonna show us how, cause we're all together as one. All together as one. Scoop, spear, polish, chop, wash, prepare, hang and mop. There's work to be done. You and me ain't the only one with a lesson to learn. In the rock tree in the world. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. This is from Matthew Fox, Reinvention of Work, a new vision of livelihood for our time. This is from the introduction. When he wrote, "To live well is to work well or display a good activity," Thomas Aquinas, the 13th century saint and theologian, laid out in clear words how deep the issues of work are to the human species. Work touches life itself. To live well is to work well. Good living and good working go together. Life and livelihood ought not to be separated, but to flow from the same source, which is spirit. For both life and livelihood are about spirit. Spirit means life, and life and livelihood are about living in depth, living with meaning, purpose, joy, and a sense of contributing to the greater community. The spirituality of work is about bringing life and livelihood back together again, and spirit with them. What an interesting definition of work Aquinas offers us: to display a good activity. Work is part of our display, part of the parading of our beauty. It is the way we return our beauty to the community, and this is important both to the individual and to the community. Why? Because all beauty yearns to be conspicuous. Beauty and display go together, so therefore do beauty and work. Our work is meant to be beautiful, to increase the beauty of the world, of one another, of the worker. The 12th century Benedictine abbess Hildegard of Bingen challenges our notions about work when she declares that when humans do good work, they become a flowering orchard, permeating the universe, making the cosmic wheel go round. She provokes our understanding of work in at least three ways. First, her statement presumes that humans are fruitful and flourishing when working. Second,
that we are about good work. And third, that our work affects the universe itself, that our work actually contributes to turning the cosmic wheel. She presumes that we are not tied down to an anthropocentric understanding of work, and that the excitement and allure of permeating the universe with our work is giving us energy to do good work. Does this statement from Hildegard name our experience of work? Perhaps it leads us to wonder what work is and isn't in today's world.
I really liked that choice. Sorry I didn't introduce it myself. I meant to say, you know, I have a real fondness for Ralph Waldo Emerson and the writing that he did. And he writes that we know what we ought. And so much of what we ought is therefore intuition. And be lamps unto yourself always struck me as something that Emerson would have liked very much. I gave my first speech, public speech, as a member of a high school speech team. It was in a category called extemporaneous. One picked a topic from an envelope and had 30 minutes to write and memorize a 7-minute speech on some question from current events. Obviously, one had to be very conversant with the news. I absorbed weekly newspapers and magazines and newscasts, you name it. I was pretty good, actually. Might come as no surprise, then, that when I went to college, I chose political science as my major and economics as my minor. When I graduated from college, I was as certain of what I was going to do with my life as I imagined a person could be. I went to graduate school. I got a PhD in political science. I became an assistant professor of political science. I felt it was so straightforward a storyline, so linear a path, you might as well believe I was called by God into that profession. I might have myself, had I at the time believed in God. Today, at age 56, I am a hospital chaplain at a children's hospital, working in the behavioral health unit, mostly with teens who have contemplated or attempted suicide. A political science classroom, it is not. And at that, I tell people that this is my third profession. In between professor and chaplain, I was my family's full-time parent and homemaker for almost 15 years. Not a very linear journey, after all, but I would have told you at every point along the way that I was just as called to be where I was as ever. My initial plans, well, they didn't turn out as I anticipated. I wound up instead finding my inner caregiver through my work, turning that newfound identity into new work. I went into the ministry so I could continue to give care. My work of caregiving is mixed with the spirituality of caregiving to produce something I would like to think is a whole greater than the sum of its parts. That is, something divine. Part of what Matthew Fox calls the great work, with capital letters. Being created again and again. How about you? How do you see yourself? Is there work that you do that makes you more complete? Is there spirit expressed when you work? Would you do the same work or different work if you thought about it that way? Who in all one's work sees God, that one in truth goes on to God. So says the Bhagavad Gita, wherein one is advised that work freely given as devotion is one of the yogic paths toward union with Brahma. Indeed, one can find this type of thinking in Zen Buddhism as well, or in Catholicism in the rule of Saint Benedict, or in Taoism, or in, well, name a faith. And being able to spiritually approach something as central as work is, well, central. The Shaker's motto is apt: hands to work, hearts to God. One should find definition in one's work, self-expression in profession. Now, you might be forgiven for thinking, well, Tom, if only it was just that easy. Indeed, I do not believe that providence will land us, all of us, into the life we were meant to be in. I don't want to make it out as easy as simply aligning what you do professionally with what you would like to do, or what you love in life, or what you think your best skills are. Reality is not always so clean. We all know that economic and situational realities may not allow much room for movement. There are bills to pay, or we might all start retraining next week. Our dream job may exist someplace other than where we are. And you may be hearing this very differently depending on your age. If you are 60, you are perhaps already looking backwards on a professional life that is near done. But perhaps you are looking ahead to what will give you either more joy, new joy, in doing something that either you always wanted to do, if given half a chance, right? Or maybe something that was more recently held up to you as an opportunity you had never imagined possible, say, 30 years ago. Or maybe you are just 30 years old, and the new global economy beckons, and with a host of new jobs that didn't even exist a few years ago. Indeed, the critique goes back at least as far as Marx. The whole of our economic structure works against finding fulfillment in our work, and the individual losing a sense of overarching meaning and purpose to his or her work explains a malaise and anomie so widespread and communal that only overthrowing the entirety of the capitalist system could give you back any shot you might have at your own noble self. The alienation of the working person. Modern working conditions were contrasted to the kind of work one found in the old guild model, wherein one ultimately became a journeyman in a craft. One's very identity was found in one's work. One was part of creating throughout the production of some good, and being able to see the final product, one took pride in all one did. As Marx wrote, our products would be so many mirrors in which we saw reflected our essential nature. Wendell Berry writes, the modern urban industrial society is based on a series of radical disconnections between body and soul, husband and wife, marriage and community, community and the earth. At each of these points of disconnection, the collaboration of corporation, government, and expert sets up a profit-making enterprise that results in the further dismemberment and impoverishment of the creation. This look backward to the day of craftsmen may seem like quaint affectation to some in the modern world, like Lao Tzu's agrarian localized utopianism on display in the Tao Te Ching is so frequently dismissed as being. Or because the critique of capitalism's exploitation of the worker comes from a Marxist economic analysis, it is dismissed as politically incorrect. But I would argue that this view of work as meaningful arises from a spiritual analysis. And to dismiss it so casually is to risk spiritual bankruptcy. According to Dorothea Sowell in her article, Work as Self-Expression, there are three components of good work: self-expression, social relatedness, that is, it places us in community, and reconciliation with nature, that is, it gives relationship to the universe. There is a component of self-identity to work, but more than that, there is a fulfillment of the designs of the universe in what we do. It reminds one of Hildegard. And that work must come from deep within ourselves. As Matthew Fox says, only that work can be truly sacramental which flows from the heart to the heart, which comes from an inner place, which makes common cause with both light and darkness, enchantment and suffering. Sacramental work serves the cause of the great work of the universe, a work of interdependence and of compassion. There is nothing anti-modern about this perspective. Indeed, Sowell and Fox might argue that reinventing work may be the only way to save it from driving us all crazy and dragging the whole system under. Postmodern capitalism may need to redefine work in order to save itself. To be sure, we must leave behind the notion that somehow economic progress and meaningful work are antithetical to each other. And there is the pivot here. I remember asking a former vice president of the Audubon Society how to make change happen, and he said it started in my backyard and worked outward, one yard at a time. Work is indeed something from the heart. We each live in a context wherein we have to make work for ourselves. I do know people who are fulfilled in the job they found. Not everyone might find fulfillment in accounting, but I know someone who finds her soul fed every day by the thought that she works for an organization that is getting food to people who need it. Another friend actually went from passionate interest to passionate interest when she went from overseeing good nutrition in the schools for children to teaching yoga to teens. I know homemakers to teachers to the president of a community organizing group, all doing what their souls tell them to do. Having recognized people whose profession is self-expression, however, I again want to acknowledge that work is not just that from which we draw a paycheck. Through so many circumstances and choices, necessities and needs, there are those of us who also have to be patted on the back for the ability just to be satisfied in profession. so that they might be fulfilled feeding body and soul in the rest of their life. My wife, who once did love the classroom, after 30 years, is finally just tired of teaching. But for all else that that association with her university has provided for our family, from overseas exchanges that taught our sons to love travel and other cultures, to the women's studies reading group every Thursdays, to the future retirement benefits even that will allow us to move on to the next stage of our lives up in Akron with me working at Children's and her getting to imagine a whole new next life for herself. She knows enough to be grateful for what 30 years brought to our little foursome. Is the cup being 3/4 full at one kind of work insufficiently spiritually turning the cosmic wheel if it allows for helping to turn that wheel in so many other ways? Can't we just say we have to allow for growth across the decades? I hope so, because were it not so, none would take any chances. I tell young people all the time that chance that they have right now is okay to grab and not to worry about whether it's something they might want to do for the next 40 years. Hardly any jobs exist anymore in the modern economy that will come with a gold watch for 50 years of service. Of course we'll change jobs over the years. And further down the scale from profession is the only work that turns the cosmic wheel is the daily work of the rest of our lives, right? Our home lives. Every Buddhist monk I have ever met has reminded me that ritual is prayer. And the more that one ritualizes, then the more that one is at prayer. Everything that one does, if done with present-mindedness, from sitting in meditation to eating a meal to any kind of work one can do, may be an expression of one's self-awareness and connection to the greater universe. After the first such exposure to that kind of thinking, I began trying to do household chores in a meditative way. I like to chop vegetables by hand instead of using the food processor because chopping can feel like a ritual, can be work that feels like it has value in itself, and I'll feel a greater connection to dinner. I have a very repetitive and meditatively way of hanging the laundry, much to Sharon's amusement. She watches me and thinks I'm just being obsessive-compulsive. I see myself engaged in a spiritual practice, the prayer of laundry. I can show you that same thinking to the point of non-thinking in turning the garden beds in the spring or stacking the firewood in the fall, wiring an electric socket, painting a room. Thus it is that any work can be that in which we connect to our inner self. As for my professional life, I know that I still don't know how I came to be where I am today. Some of it was situational. Some of it was personal choice. Some was new interests and skill sets. Some was spiritual growth and maturity. Some was just dumb luck. Maybe all of that added together is what we come to call providential. In addition, I don't think that anyone gets to harmony without some sacrifice. Right? For me, it was retraining.
I took my first class in seminary in November of 2000. I think that I will finally be achieving final fellowship in this denomination in 2020. Yeah, had you told me, 20 years. Yeah, right. In those 20 years were a lot of miles on either Interstate 79 or 76, a lot of overnights away from home, real choices in time management, a lot of choices around balance, and more than a few tears. One might have to make significant sacrifices in order to do the work that one might think truly defines one's own nature. Still, ask yourself, why am I in this work? What are my best skills and characteristics? What do I love about my work? How often do I get to do what I love? Must you be doing what you like or just liking what you do? Would it make a matter if it was just a little bit of both? A dialectical conversation between yourself and a divine other, both creating and fulfilling a transcendent value that somehow feels like being called? What is it they say about God laughing as we make plans? I think that's how I came to be here where I am. I think it's how any of us come to be where we are. Through a back and forth conversation with the cosmos. And it is so individual and personal a conversation that takes place in your own heart and mind. Others shook their head when I left academia, but those same people shook their heads in some measure of admiration when they told me they couldn't do what I was doing as a homemaker, or as a hospice chaplain, or as a neonatal ICU chaplain, or at present as a behavioral health chaplain. But here I am, still sure I got here to a place I am glad to be, as filled with forks and hairpin curves as the path has been. 2 weeks ago, I had a 16-year-old boy shake his head and ask me how I could do what I was doing for a living. I shook my head back and I told him I felt like I could do no other. I hope it is that way for you too. Who in all one's work sees God, that one in truth goes on to God. Seek the Spirit in your work. Seek the great work. Blessed be. This is from the aforementioned Work is Self-Expression. Several years ago, I discovered the meaning of work when I contacted the teacher of my youngest child, then a first grader in an excellent school in Manhattan. One day, I became impatient with my daughter's progress at school. I had not yet taught her at age 6 to read or write. So I visited the teacher to ask when the children would start to work. Work, he scoffed. What do you mean you're talking about work? Can't you see what's going on here? Don't you see those strong workers, those children? They're building a town with their blocks. He sent me home with this response, a response I was to mull over and benefit from in the ensuing years. His response changed my mind, moving me from a myopic, production-oriented perspective to a more humane understanding of work. May you understand work as play. May you turn the cosmic wheel either way. Have a good morning.